Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast, Life and the Choices We Make, your online compass for navigating the wide world of modern dating. Whether you're swiping left, swiping right, or meeting someone in the real world, I'm here to help you make the best choices on your journey to finding love. In this season, I'm diving deep into the world of dating apps, breaking down what makes a killer profile, and how to spot the red flags in others. We'll also explore how to connect with someone special in real life and the art of striking up a conversation that actually leads somewhere. We will also tackle the tough stuff, like healing from past relationships and learning how to build healthier, stronger connections moving forward. So whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, join me as we explore the highs and lows of modern romance. It's time to swipe smart, date better, and find the love that truly fits. Greetings and welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast. Weekend rant. By the way, I think I'm going to rename the podcast. You know, originally it started out as Anonymous Andrew. And that title alone doesn't really tell you anything about the podcast. And many people would jump to the conclusion that it's because it's anonymous, it might be a sober-related podcast show. And it is not. Although I am sober and I talk about it infrequently here and there, it is nothing to do with sobriety. It's all about the last relationship I was in and what I went through and the choices that I made to stay in a very abusive relationship. So I kind of went with Anonymous Andrew, Life and the Choices We Make. But that's not really officially the name of the podcast. I know this is kind of like not the weekend rant, but I just recently I've been thinking if I'm going to focus on dating and romance and modern culture dating and all that stuff, I may just change the subtitle to Anonymous Andrew Dating in the Modern World or something like that. But anyway, that's just here and there. A couple of new reviews that I would like to share with you. I got one. Well, I may or may not have read this, but 5 stars from a, I can't even pronounce the name. Boy, you guys come up with some pretty interesting Apple ID names. Pierukashield. Okay. Instant fan when you started ranting about traffic. Ha ha ha. I felt all of that hard. More of this, please. Well, you're going to get a little bit more of it today. And the last one is 5 stars. Very interesting podcast. Really interesting stories. And guests that make for a solid conversation. I enjoyed the sex worker episode. And the bit about traffic. Worth a listen. So you guys liked my weekend rant on the traffic that I was bitching about a couple of weeks ago. I do have some dating updates, but let me just, I'll jump into the weekend rant and then I'll give you a little update on the dating. So, pertaining to traffic, I use Siri every morning and every night to go to and from work. And it's not so, it's the Apple Maps, right? But Siri dictates. She's funny. I just said her name. And of course, I have a Siri HomePod. So, of course, I mention her name and she starts blabbering in the background. Anyway, the maps. And you know, I would think there's a lot of map apps out there. You got Waves, you got, of course, Google Maps. I stick with Apple Maps, although I'm not happy with them. She'll take you routes that are just not the way I would go. But the app has gotten pretty good with obstacles, i.e. traffic. So coming, like going to work in the morning, there's three ways I can go to work. And in the morning, at, you know, an hour before I leave or when I leave, I get in the car and I hit the button, go to work, and up comes the three different routes and which one is quicker. You know, one might be 3 minutes or 5 minutes quicker than the other. And there's really a particular route I like to take. But here's where I really like the Apple Maps. And I don't know if Google does this, and I don't know if Waves does this. Along the way, I like what they do. I don't like what they do it about. Along the way, they will tell you exactly where there is an accident, where there is construction, and when you get to that point in there, the map will say to you, a report was a delay was reported at this intersection. Is it still here? And you can hit, no, it's not. It's cleared. So it updates the map application, whatever, so the people behind me don't get that notice, whatever. And they'll tell you where the red lights are. They tell you where the red light cameras are. And that's what I want to talk about. On my way to work and on my way home and any other way, like tomorrow I'm heading out to see the grandkids and it's an hour drive. And even though I know where my son lives, it's, again, it could be three different routes to go and I want to choose the quickest route. I kid you not, in the morning or on the commute home from work, every other traffic light, I can't. So I'm driving and I don't know, it might sound weird, my commute to work to and from are my peaceful relaxation times. I know, even though I bitched about traffic recently, I just know that the traffic is going to be there. There's the government is doing nothing about it, and there's construction everywhere. Again, folks, I'm outside the New York City area, and I travel into the city, and they're redoing every fucking road. Everyone, I live near JFK Airport, so they're really redoing the entire area. So it's just a clusterfuck of traffic. But up before and after that traffic area, there is a highway, an expressway that I might take, but it's got lights, traffic lights. Siri will tell me every other light ahead. Traffic, red light traffic cam, red light traffic cam, meaning if you go through the red light, they will take a picture of your license plate and then you get that ticket in the mail. I don't know how many cities are doing this, but it is all over the metropolitan New York area. So the entire Long Island area, Connecticut, New Jersey, they have, and New York City, of course, they have traffic, not just the red lights. Now they have the speed limit cameras. So, and I don't, if you're going through a school zone, and I passed five schools on the way to work, the speed limit is 15 miles an hour, maybe 20. And even on the boulevard that I work on, it's a 2 mile ride I have to take getting off the expressway. There's a couple of schools along there, and they lowered the speed limit to 20 miles per hour. And Siri will say to me, traffic speed camera ahead. And you can see the actual traffic cameras on the side of the road. You really can't miss them. They're these big, tall things with big boxes on them. What it comes down to is George Orwell's 1984 book about Big Brother. And there are now cameras at almost every intersection. Well, I don't want to say where in New York, but virtually every intersection. So if you go through that red light, you will get, and I'm talking a split second. So if it's yellow when you go through it, but if your tail end it is there when it turns red, snap, the picture gets taken, you get the ticket in the mail. And here's the best part. The tickets are sometimes upwards of $175. And they just had on the news the other day, my local news, there's a county out by me that they determined, somebody, I don't know if a politician or a judge, they found out that the tickets were $75 for going through the red light. But the county was tacking on a $100 service fee. So the red light ticket was only $75, but they slap you with a fee, $100 fee. And some judge out in one of the counties near me, I don't live in that county, but they have their contract with the red light cameras ended this year and they decided not to renew. So in Suffolk, I might as well tell you the county. In Suffolk County, because I don't live there. In Suffolk County out on Long Island, they have stopped the red light cameras. And they are now talking about refunding the $100 service fee back to all the individuals who got, for the past 5 years or 10 years, got slapped with that $100 fee. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here. And I never get political on this show. The Democrats were the ones who found the fee and they went after the county and said, you can't do that. You want to ticket them for the red light? Fine. $75 or whatever it is. Sometimes it's 65 or 80, depending on the county, depending on the town, whatever. But they were slapping people with these surcharges. And they said, that's just not legal. You can't do that. And now you have to return the money to the drivers. And the county started screaming, well, that'll bankrupt us. Well, you were doing fine 10 years ago or 5 years ago before you put the red light cameras up. You generated millions and millions of dollars from these red light cameras. And you overcharged the people. So now a judge or somebody fought back and said, no, you can't do that. You have to return the money. And of course, the Republicans are saying, no, that's going to bankrupt us. I'm not choosing sides here on this. I'm just reporting what's going on. I'm pissed off and I'm sick and tired of Big Brother watching how I drive. And I don't, folks, if you drive and you're driving down a roadway and that light turns yellow and you're at that little zone where you either got to jam on the brakes because you don't want that traffic ticket, the red light ticket. One of the reasons they stopped the camera out in Suffolk County was that they said there were a huge increase in rear end collisions because people were jamming on their brakes because they didn't want to get the ticket and the guy behind them hit them. So these red light cameras are causing accidents when they were supposed to be a safety thing. Like, God forbid you run through a yellow light. I go through yellow lights. Yellow means it's going to turn red in about 3 seconds. The yellow is just an indication that it is no longer green and it's about to turn red. and you should be allowed to go through the yellow light because the opposing intersection, the opposing roadway, isn't going to turn green until my side is red. Anyway, the whole concept of these red light cameras, they're watching everything that you're doing. And listen to my words. They're going to connect your car, your smart car now, because all cars that are coming out now, they're no longer, they all have computers in them and they're all hooked up to GPS. You watch, there's going to be either a Bluetooth or a Wi-Fi or GPS, something that when you go through a red light, it'll get reported to your insurance company. You watch, mark my words, it's coming. So not only will you get a ticket, but your insurance company is going to be notified that in, I don't know, 3-week period, a month period, a 6-week period, that you went through 7 red lights. Or you went through a yellow light. I just mark my words. And what's worse is that, like for me, when I drive to work and I sit back because I know it's an hour drive, I will put on a podcast. And I have my morning coffee with me, and I'm just, if I'm sitting in traffic, I'm listening to my podcast. But Siri, or whichever map you're using, every 45 seconds to a minute or every couple of minutes, she interrupts the podcast to tell you that the next intersection is a red light camera.
I found some web results.
What? She's talking to me. Well, yeah, I have Alexa and Siri, and every time I say them, they, of course, they have to ask me what is it, what can I do for you? I don't know if you heard that in the background. I'm getting pissed off at the fact that I can't get in my car and drive from point A to point B without being monitored. Every intersection there is, and there, or in between intersections, there's a speed limit, and they have a speed limit radar camera that will catch your speed, take a picture of your license plate, and then you get another ticket. And these school zones, now, I'm a parent. My kids are adults, obviously, but I have grandchildren. Yes, you should go slow through a school zone. I don't advocate speeding through school zones. You know what? I'm just gonna probably leave that topic completely alone. I obey the speed limit only because I don't want to get a ticket. But in my area, if you pass a school at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6:40 or whatever, you really can't go fast anyway, because every parent is either dropping off their kids or there's 17 buses lined up dropping the kids off, and they double park or triple park and you can't get past. And then you got your crosswalk guard that's standing on every street corner letting the kids cross. Whatever the speed limit is, like it's 20 or 15, you're crawling or you're inching because you can't get through the school zone during school time. It's just not possible. But they have the cameras, and they have the red light cameras and the speed light cameras. Folks, it's only going to get worse. As AI advances and as Big Brother gets more technology, and you watch, next it'll be drones above us, all right? They're going to watch you cut somebody off, like on a highway, like, or if you're driving erratically. I don't know if I want to really touch upon that. But mark my words, there's going to come a time when these drones are hovering over major highways and they're going to be taking pictures of cars driving. It's coming. There's no way it's not. I'm recording this on December 14th, I think. There's a lot of news right now about some drones flying around Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Long Island. And they don't know where these drones are coming from. And people are reporting them at night that there's hundreds of these drones flying over our suburban areas. And it was on Yahoo News. It's on my morning news. They're reporting it. And the government and the FDA, the Aviation Commission, or whoever, I don't know who it is. They're reporting saying it's not us. It's not the government. And somebody reported that they think it was Syria. Iran has a vessel, a ship off the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, and they're sending drones in over the United States. There's a lot of like conspiracy stuff going on. But either way, these drones are all over the place, and they're going to be hovering in our skies, and they're going to be watching you every move you make. It's going to be in the cars. It's going to be in the parks, our recreational parks. Big Brother is going to be watching every move you make. And if you have not read George Orwell's 1984, the book was called 1984, go read it. It's coming true. He predicted it. And 30 years later, there are cameras on every major boulevard, parkway, expressway, at least in the city and the town and the counties that I travel in and through and around. Okay, quick switch of gears here. I reported to you last weekend that I had to go into the hospital to get what they call ablation, which is a procedure they do if you have atrial fibrillation, which I have. And they booked me for Thursday, December 12th. And they called me 2 days prior to that, so that would have been 3 days ago. They called me 4 days ago or 5 days ago and said they overbooked, that they need to move me to Monday. So now my procedure is December 16th, which is 2 days from now. Which really pissed me off because I had made all the arrangements because I have to go in for the day, possibly stay overnight at the hospital. I had to arrange transportation, yada, yada, yada. If you've ever had to go to the hospital for something, you know it's a pain in the ass. You can't drive there yourself and drive home. You got to have somebody drop you off and pick you up. And you're inconveniencing other people. Thank God I have three sons. Two of them live near me and they've offered. But What? I got a letter from the hospital that I am going to on Monday. When they took my insurance information last week, when they booked the procedure, they sent me a letter and said, "This is how much we're charging your insurance company." I don't have it in front of me, but I want to tell you what the procedure that I'm getting on Monday is costing my insurance company. $450,000. I'll round it up. $500,000 for me to go in on Monday, for them to put me under general anesthesia, put a catheter up it's the femoral artery, go up to my heart, fix the atrial fibrillation, and then send me home. A 1 day, probably 10-hour visit to the hospital is going to cost my insurance company $500,000. My hip surgery back in May was only $80,000. And that was a more invasive and orthopedic type surgery. This is not like not surgical. This is just a guy that's going to stick a catheter up the artery in my groin that goes up to the heart And I honestly don't know. I don't know exactly what they do to the heart, and I don't want to know, because I just don't. I just want, just knock me out and get it done with. But it's, and I know a lot of you who might be in the insurance fields or the health fields will say that the insurance companies are not going to pay the $500,000. They will probably get half of that, if that much. But still, half of that would be $200,000, $225,000. That's still a lot of fucking money. I'm a little nervous to bring up the next topic. Last week, as everybody knows, the CEO of United Healthcare was gunned down in New York City. And yes, they caught the guy. But now there's an outcry of support for this guy, because people are fed up with the insurance companies for denying service procedures, surgical, whatever, denying claims that need to be done on you. I was denied a claim a year ago for my car, I think it was an echocardiogram. They wanted to go in with sonar, I think. They go in, they send waves to the heart or something. It's a 20-minute procedure. They denied it. I have cardiac issues. I have several cardiac issues, and my cardiologist is treating me, and they want to monitor it, and my insurance company, oh yeah, United Healthcare, denied it. I am not condoning gunning down CEOs. But the system is fucking broken. And I don't know if I blame the insurance companies. I blame the medical industry. Why are they charging $500,000 for a 10-hour procedure? Folks, I'm not going to tell you what I make per year, but it would take me, you can do the math, it would take me 5 years to make what this hospital or what this doctor is going to make in one day. It's fucking ridiculous. And I don't have the answer. I this is just a rant. I have no idea how to fix this. I just know gunning and killing and assassinating CEOs is not the way to do it. But it did bring awareness to it, because now everybody's paying attention to, uh-oh, the insurance companies are in trouble. But I point the finger at the medical industry. Listen, my father was a doctor. I grew up in the medical world. And he got out in 2001. He retired. And he could have worked another 5-10 years. I think he retired, oh God, I don't remember, 67 or something. He said to me, I'm not going to make as the money that when I was growing up, the money we made. I grew up in a good house, you know, in an affluent household. No, I'm not rich. I blew my father's inheritance due to alcoholism. But the doctors back in the 80s and 90s, they didn't do this shit. They didn't overcharge the insurance companies. And it was different. What is it? HMO or whatever they call it today. And we had different insurance back then. Today's, something's got to get done. I could go on for another half hour about this. I'm pissed off about, because I'm getting older and I'm starting to need now more medical attention, and pretty soon I'm going to be on Medicare, and I am fucking scared shitless. I know nothing about Medicare. I got to look into it like really, really, really soon. And I'll probably be dropping my private insurance that I get through my job, and I have to go on Medicare. I just hope that I get the same quality of medical care that I'm getting now. I may bitch and moan about my medical practitioners, but I'm happy with the ones I have. My orthopedic, who did my both hips, I play tennis like I have, like I'm 18 years old. So they do a good job. And the cardiologists, I love my cardiologist. There's a group of them. I'm not going to name them, but there's a practice down by me. They're a big practice. There's a whole bunch of them. They're great. But there's something broken in our culture, in our Western world. The CEO that got gunned down, I read somewhere that he was making $40 million a year and that he got something, and don't quote me on that. I don't want people writing in and said no. He was paid very well. And then he got bonuses and he got incentives and blah, blah, blah. And there is some little old lady or some child with cancer that's being denied treatment somewhere. Tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold. And these CEOs of insurance companies and CEOs of hospitals are walking around and making millions of dollars a year. And us folk who need to go in and get procedures are either being denied. Do you know what my insurance deductible is? So in January, if I go in for anything, any medical procedure, I have to pay the first $7,500 first. The insurance will not kick in until I meet my deductible. $7,500. And I still pay, even though I have private insurance through my company, I still got to pay $30 a week out of my paycheck towards that, plus the copay, plus the deductible. And I see why, because these hospitals are charging $500,000 for a cardiac procedure. Anyway, on to my dating life. Oh God. Okay, so I'm talking to two ladies. I think one I might have mentioned to you last week. One of them doesn't speak English, although I kind of knew she did. She was speaking Spanish to me, and I kept saying to her, she was conversing with me in Spanish, and I told you guys I speak Spanish a little bit. I mean, I get by. But I said, she was 58 years old and was from the Dominican Republic. I said, there's no way that you're here in the United States working, making a living, and she's obviously not married. I don't think I should make that assumption that she's single, but she's on a dating app looking for romance, I guess. And I said to her, I speak a little Spanish and I'd be happy to continue this conversation with you, but sometimes I got to use a translator, like an app. And this isn't going to work for me if I, especially if we talk on the phone. Please tell me that you have some English. And she again said, no, in Spanish, no, my English is not good. And I said, well, my Spanish isn't that good. It's good enough to, like, I can walk into a bodega and whatever. I could probably hold a conversation briefly, and I'm learning. But I said to her, look, I'm if you don't really know English, I'm going to move on. The next morning, I get a text from her on the dating app, because we haven't exchanged phone numbers yet. She wrote, good morning, in English. So that's not a hard phrase to learn, but I knew she was holding back on me. So I wrote her back and I said, in English, I said, thank you for making an effort to speak in English. And I'm talking to another woman. This one was interesting. She is all tattooed up like I am. I think that might be what drew her to me. But she's doing the breadcrumb thing. We had a conversation one night on might as well say it. It was Bumble, and we were chit-chatting, having a conversation. And the next day, it started getting late, and I said, you know, it's like 9:45. I got to go to bed. Got to get up in the morning. And she said, okay, whatever. And then I think I said hello the next day. And then I haven't heard from her for 2-3 days. So I finally reached out to her and I said, I don't know, is this, are you ghosting me? I don't think I said it that way, but I said, I'm not getting responses from you. So if this isn't for you, I'll move on. And all of a sudden I get, oh, no, I'm here. I've been sick. I have this winter cold. And I'm like, well, all right, listen, we all get sick, right? We all get colds in the winter. You can't pick up the phone and text something? Ugh. This is why this dating, modern dating culture thing sucks. People are just not communicating. Okay, so... I got another month left on Bumble. We're going to let that run out and take some time off the dating apps. Although I'm on the dating apps to report back to you. So I still have another dating app I'm on, which I'm keeping secret right now. But, God. All right, folks. And this coming Monday, I'm going in for my ablation to fix my heart. So wish me luck. But the podcast will go on. I'll be home either the same day or the next day, but I do have an episode dropping this coming Wednesday. Got a great episode for you. So if you haven't already, please see in the show notes, there is a link to buy me a cup of coffee. This podcast has been running 2 years from my pocket, and I am not doing any advertising as of yet. So if you could donate, I would really appreciate it much. Anonymous Andrew saying thank you for listening, and until next time, ciao.